Jasper wasn't sure that Dr. Rocket was a good sea captain, but if Jasper was going to stay on board, he had to have faith in him. It was only till they caught up with the Blue Swan at Battle Island. How embarrassed and ashamed his parents and Trump would be for leaving him behind. Soon the wharf was far away. Jasper wrestled into dry clothes from his pack and stumbled on deck. Spangles of light danced on the waves of old ocean. Dr. Rocket set course and came down from the wheelhouse. Polly went to take his place. The bright green sails billowed in a brisk wind. The sky over the horizon had turned jet black. Jasper wondered if he'd better mention it. Sailors could be offended if you pointed out something they should have seen themselves. The travelling restaurant rocked more and more. The wind was stronger. "All large vessels should heave to," remarked the captain.
"Like the Blue Swan?"
"Indeed."
"What about small ones, like the restaurant?"
"Small vessels," the captain answered. "Better keep their fingers crossed." The storm was far more terrible than Dr. Rocket had thought it would be. Large and small vessels should have run before it in hopes of escape. Jasper needed only three words to describe himself during the storm: scared and sick. There are three words to describe where the travelling restaurant ended up: far off course. At last, old ocean calmed again. Jasper lurched about at first when he tried to walk, but soon felt better. The horizon was level and blue. Gradually, it seemed to have a bump in it. Dr. Rocket steered towards it.
"Is it Battle Island?" Jasper asked.
Dr. Rocket shook his head. "It's Little Skirmish." Eventually, a small harbour reached out its arms to welcome them. Eventually, Polly threw out a rope. Wharf workers caught it and eased the vessel in. When they were close enough, Polly jumped out and helped the men loop an iron hawser around a bollard. At last, the strange ship was tied up in this small harbour at this small wharf on this island far away from Jasper's home. The travelling restaurant was not the first to come in once the storm had passed. The wharf at Little Skirmish groaned as fishing boats and traders of all sorts pressed against it.
"What news?"
cried Dr. Rocket from the wheelhouse to the gathered townsfolk. Jasper whispered to Polly, "I hope there'll be news of the Blue Swan." She had her eyes on a vessel at the town end of the wharves, a sloop of war with masts and funnels. "That's Her Provisional Majesty's ship, the Lively Beagle," she murmured. Jasper felt stupid and scared. He'd thought that once they'd left the City of Spires, he would be safe from Lady Gaul. But the Provisional Monarch ruled over all of Old Ocean, every island in it, and as much of the coast as anyone wanted.
"We won't ask about the Swan outright," said Polly. "We'll wait and keep our ears open."
"The thing to do," said Dr. Rocket, "is offer breakfast."
Polly squinted at the sun, nearly overhead.
"Let's make it early lunch."
At once, Polly and the captain set about opening the travelling restaurant. Polly asked Jasper to wash down the decks. It was useful to do something active when he was worried. The restaurant's paint was still bright, or even brighter, as if the storm had rinsed it clean. Jasper swished buckets of seawater over the davits where the orange dinghies hung, then oiled the moving parts. He noticed properly, for the first time, that there were two anchor wells towards the bow, one large, one small, with the anchors hanging out. Towards the stern on the side of the ship that didn't face the wharf, there was a third, very large anchor well. Well, that was odd, wasn't it? Most ships had only one or two up at the bow. But this was an unusual ship. This third anchor well was a brass cavern.
Deep inside was a hint of carved metal, almost like a bird with its head beneath a wing. It was not as windy on the afterdeck near the stern, so Jasper sat there and sorted out his pack. Perhaps it would be all right to buckle on the dagger. He'd just done so when Polly came out of the cabin. It was time to let the sign down, but Polly didn't even glance at the sign. She was staring at the scabbard on Jasper's belt.
"Oh, my uncle gave it to me," Jasper said.
"You didn't mention an uncle." "Did you mention an uncle to Dr. Rocket? How long ago did your—" She pressed her lips tight, as if some people chose their uncles very unwisely. "Put that dagger in the back of a kitchen drawer in case it scares someone." Now that the sign was down, the townsfolk of Little Skirmish crowded around. A lot of people simply admired the vivid paintwork and the images of flying birds on the funnel and the bow. They eyed the sign and nudged each other, but didn't say anything aloud. The people who wanted to eat in the restaurant made an orderly, though noisy, line. The captain asked Jasper to let down the gangplank. Up people filed, and the captain and Jasper handed out menus. During the long lunchtime, many ships had left port. Others had entered. Many customers had come and gone. But Jasper heard nothing about the Blue Swan, nor about Lady Gaul's excellent hound. He hoped his parents were safe. He hoped the excellent hound was far away. A soft breeze ruffled the harbour. The last customer strolled down the gangplank. The horizon held a sketch of cloud, and there, in the east, was a ship. For a moment, Jasper hoped it was the Blue Swan, but the shape was wrong. This was a battered three-master. At least, there was one mast and two broken stumps. It came into harbour slowly, making careful use of the light breeze.
A credit to the seamanship of the crew, Dr. Rocket muttered.
They shaded their eyes to watch the scruffy newcomer approach. Her gangplank clattered to the wharf. The first sailors stumbled to the dock. Dr. Rocket put a hand on Jasper's shoulder and glanced over at Polly. The three of them strolled down their own gangplank and along the wharf until they reached the sailors, who were now talking to some townsfolk.
"Ahoy!" said Dr. Rocket. "The Ruby Partridge, is she? Had a hard time of it, mateys."
"Hard enough," said a small fat sailor with a fresh red scar on his brow. "But not as hard as some." The captain's hand tightened on Jasper's shoulder. He made a gruff noise that meant, "Tell on." The sailor rubbed a hand across his forehead.
"We was heading to the City of Spars when the storm struck. All we could do was run ahead of it. That took us close to the Isle of Storms. No chance of shelter there with all them reefs. We made it past with the results you see." He pointed to the broken masts. "And on we came to lick our wounds in Little Skirmish." "Any news of other ships of your line?" asked Dr. Rocket.
"Not good news. Not if you mean the Blue Swan."
Jasper could hardly breathe.
"We saw her in a flash of lightning. She was ahead of us, then we lost her. A ship that size. We hoped. We prayed. But she ran onto the reefs."
Jasper felt Polly's hand rest on his other shoulder, light and warm. Polly and the captain kept their hands firm on Jasper's shoulders as the whole world seemed to move beneath him. His clever father, beautiful mother, his little sister. Through a dreadful buzzing of grief in his ears came the sound of marching feet. He seemed to be lifted up and hurried along the wharf. Then he was back on the travelling restaurant, being tucked up into a small bunk in a dark cabin. "Was your uncle on the Blue Swan too?" whispered Polly. He managed to nod. "Don't give up hope," she said. "Don't ever give up." He didn't know how much time passed. He had no strength to move. Finally, he rubbed a hand over his eyes and thought, I must do something. Just then, the door to the tiny cabin opened. Polly's shape was outlined in dim light. Jasper. She came over to him and sat down. Jasper, our plan was to follow the blue swan. That's still what we must do. We'll put our worries and sadness aside and set to work. His throat choked up. Even in the shadows, he saw her bite down on a sob as well. She gave a smile. It wasn't a wide smile, and it was full of pain. But it was also full of kindness. I've come to say, I know you're an unusual boy, she said.
I'm ordinary.
No boy is ordinary. She put her hand over his. We'll find out where Lady Helen is, and Hannibal Ludlow. Most important, we must find your little sister.
What about Uncle Trump?
Jasper said. Polly drew her hand back. Your wicked, lazy uncle has much to answer for. Not for the first time, Jasper thought she might know Trump. But the look on Polly's face stopped him from asking. It was late afternoon, the sun buttery, when Jasper went on deck. A wharf worker was there to help cast off. Dr. Rocket had already drawn up the gangplank, and Polly was about to climb the rigging. They both looked anxious.
Go back inside, be quiet,
called the captain gruffly. But a white chicken staggered past along the dock. It had a tuft of feathers like Sibylla's hair. Three squawking seagulls chased it. It looked almost as if they were herding the chicken towards the lively beagle. Somewhere past the beagle, Jasper heard the barking of great dogs. The chicken struggled on. The gulls began stabbing it with their beaks and drawing blood. Jasper sprang over the rail and knocked into the wharf worker. Behind him, Polly cried out. The captain shouted. Jasper said sorry to the worker and stumbled to his feet. The seagulls had picked up pace, stabbing, jabbing, herding. Jasper darted around a horse and cart but couldn't catch up. He dodged another horse and passed the lively beagle. Finally, he thrust his hands into the crowd of birds and gripped the trembling chicken. The gulls flew off, screaming with laughter as if they'd got exactly what they wanted. Gasping, he sank onto a decorated platform and set the chicken down. It flurried away. To safety, he hoped. Something pushed him.
Get off there, boy!
It was a soldier. He scrambled up. The decorations on the platform were banners of the provisional monarchy, pink with dark pink fringing. Directly opposite was the foot of the very grand gangplank of Lady Gaul's flagship, HPMS Excellent Hound. Sailors were still working on her moorings, so she'd only just arrived. That's why Dr. Rocket had told him to stay quiet and out of sight. The baying of dogs grew louder. At the head of the gangplank, Lady Gaul appeared, three large black hounds on either side.